This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Baby, I'm home.
Hey, thank you very much, Parker. And as always, just want to say welcome to my friends to Time Signatures. I am your host, Jim Irvin, and my guests today, yep, that was plural. My guests today include three former members of the great classic rock funk R&B band known as Rare Earth. Floyd Stokes Jr. is not with us today, but he is definitely here. He played drums and handled vocals for 28 years. Rick Warner was on the keys for about 12 years, and Jerry Lou Patterson played guitar and handled backing vocals for about 7 years. Following the passing of the founding member and sax, flute, and lead vocalist Gil Bridges in 2020, the guys decided to do something fun. Adding to their complement of gifted musicians, James L. Williams, former bassist and founding member of the Root Doctor Band. He's also brother to Lamar Williams of the Allman Brothers fame, and another Lansing musician by the name of Mocha Man on sax, flute, congas, vocals, you name it. The resulting mix is Brother Earth. Guys, welcome to Time Signatures, and please be gentle. I haven't had four guys in a group interviewing at the same time, okay?
So all talk at once is what you're saying.
I got you. All right, hand me that hot pot of coffee, please. Oh, sorry.
Do you want to do the NPR version?
I can see. Go ahead, James.
Oh, it's all good.
And James has been here before. James was actually at the initial recording, episode number 1 and 2, and he was playing the bass riff today, just like he was the day that we did the first one. And
were there cars then, or did you guys come to that recording on horseback? You haven't been doing it that long.
No, okay. not quite that long.
All right.
Anyway, so before we go too far, now I realize you guys have to share a couple of microphones, and we have to accommodate mine and three others. So if anybody needs them, I have Tic Tacs. say the word, and they're yours.
Hook a brother up.
Can you throw a couple at...
There you go. Give them to Jerry. And he's over there all alone, so something must be offensive going on there.
Oh, no, no. Jerry just wants to slam Tic Tacs.
So let me go ahead and get going here. I got to talk about your time with Rare Earth, guys. Rick and Jerry, that must have been some experience for you guys, yes?
Well, we only had so much time to teach those guys what was going on, you know.
Right.
No, actually, it was to say it was life-changing would be understating it. You know, I can tell you, playing Pine Knob was my musical dream of all time.
I can imagine, yeah.
And it came true for me 3 times with Rare Earth. So then it became time to dream again. And my current dream is to fly on a unicorn to the stage on Pine Knob with Brother Earth and, you know, of course, headline a 70-band festival.
Sure, yeah.
So, but honestly, on the limousine story, one of my favorites with Floyd, with JR, is when he, shortly after he became a part of Rare Earth, he made sure that his mom and dad came to see him and were brought there in a limousine.
Oh, wow.
I remember what my mom's tears looked like rolling down her cheeks the first time I played there. And then I remember the JR's family's faces when they're up there or when they got to see their son up on stage at Pine Knob. It was really special and, like I said, life-changing.
Absolutely. Jerry, got to get nice and close to that mic, but talk to me.
Absolutely. I mean, working with Gil and having the opportunity to tour with this band that I grew up listening to,
mm-hmm.
going all over the country, doing those rock and roll cruises. What an experience, man. And I did fill-in stuff before I got the full-time gig because Ray Monette, he was one of the Funk Brothers, you know, noted Motown studio cats.
Sure.
And he was out doing stuff with the Funk Brothers. And so I got the call to fill in some shows. And he was actually doing a tour in Europe with Phil Collins.
Oh, man.
So at that point, I never thought Phil Collins' schedule would directly affect mine. I never thought that would be a thing. But I was able to do that. And then when Ray, he couldn't do the touring no more, couldn't do the road, I got the call. So that was, so I did the last four tours with Gil. And what an experience, man. I mean, I'm still thanking Gil to this day.
And it's amazing because I have known you guys for coming up on a year now, or just a little over a year. And you both speak very, very reverently about Gil and the role that he played in your musical journey. And it's pretty exciting stuff. But I have to ask you guys, since the podcast is all about the blues, we have to tie it to the blues. And I know you got a couple of bluesier songs on your playlist, one of them being Tobacco Road. Talk about the role that blues plays, and this is open to all four of you. James, Mocha, jump in here. And I mean, there's definitely some blues at play here that gives you guys the funk or whatever you want to call it, you know?
Yes. Gil would always introduce Tobacco Road as it wouldn't slow it down into a bluesier number, Tobacco Road. And that's, you know, it pretty much nails it. It's got all the different time signatures you'd want in one song, in a blues tune. And it's one of my favorite songs to play because it's all about some guitar.
Sure.
You know? And I'm all about some guitar. So, and on our new release, we got a couple more bluesier songs, too.
That were written by who?
Oh, yeah, I wrote a couple of songs.
Look at that. And, look at that. And, look at that timeless self-promotion you're doing. I think that a lot of music, it depends on where you look at the genre, but everything in my world ties to the blues. It is a very prominent foundation for every other type of music. If you don't know that, then you've not heard any music in the last 20th century or not. But if you have, and you can just hear, a lot of times people don't understand where the blues comes from. And the history of the blues, the history of a very American musical art form, is really a very respected thing. You have to appreciate that. And one of the things that Brother Earth does is we try and make that homage to the music before, while we play it right now. And then, you know, going forward, hopefully we do a good job at giving everybody who gets a chance to listen at us the respect.
Now, some of the people that might be listening might sit there and say, well, it's just another tribute band, but that would be incorrect, wouldn't it, Rick?
Just another tribute band?
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I'm asking you that question on purpose because I understand the depth of your love for what you're doing. I want you to talk about that.
All right, then. How many tribute bands have former members of the band they're tribulizing, right?
Right.
And when you said that you want to tie this to the blues in some kind of way, that's the perfect thing to say, Irv, regarding why we're even here today. You know, we were suffering the blues, Jerry, Floyd, and myself, when we heard the news that Gil had passed.
Yes, sir.
We were really only going to do one show at a party at my house that never came to fruition. So we had practice and had so much fun. We booked a show at the Bohm Theater in Albion, and we just couldn't put it down after that. It was just incredible. But the direct tie to this band in the blues is we were hurting for since 2020 when Gil had passed away. And talk about a lotion or something that you can put on to when you're suffering a bad burn or something, which was our hearts.
Right.
This has been so amazing. The tours in Europe, the Pine Knob shows, the family things, all that. It's just phenomenal. And went over and visited Ray Monette a couple weeks ago and saw Ray and Judy. Again, Ray, original Rare Earth guitar player, one of the Funk Brothers, funkiest white man on the planet. And he was so proud and happy to hear that we're doing this. He's given us his full support.
Beautiful.
And it's, but it's really, it's love. It's it, the memory of Eddie Guzman, one of the most legendary percussionists in history. Got to share the stage with Eddie for quite a few years. Mark Olson, I gotta say, who was the keyboard player for Rare Earth for many years. Keep in mind that in 1973 or 74, Rare Earth had already sold 30 million records in that neighborhood. But Mark Olson, who I replaced in this band, you know, learning his parts gave a whole new dimension to my soul. And unfortunately, Mark passed some years ago too. And he's another part of the blues connection in terms of what we're doing to heal and pay tribute to the time and the music of Rare Earth.
You're listening to Time Signatures. I am your host, Jim Irvin. And with me today are four members of the band Brother Earth. And we are sitting right now at the Token Lounge in Westland. You can hear the warm-up band actually doing their sound check. One of the things that I made a promise when I started this is if there's incidental noise, we'll explain what it is and we'll just keep moving. So with that, let's go ahead and keep going here. I want to get James in for a minute. Now, James, I mentioned that you were one of the two founding members of what became the Root Doctor Band out of Lansing. You also had quite literally just retired from the Root Doctor Band, and the phone rang for this opportunity. Take me into that conversation, man.
It was a great phone call, and I was really excited. I had not been playing for several months and just kind of unwinding from the 32 years that I was with Root Doctor. Root Doctor was a bluesy band, mm-hmm. and we played it for years. One footnote on my interest in blues is, well, way back in the 70s, you know, when my brother was playing with the Allman Brothers Band,
sure.
And one song that they really did really grab me with the blues, it was Stormy Monday. And I just loved the way that, the energy that was coming from that. And I kind of been stuck in the blues ever since. However, I played all kinds of different music over the years, but being with Root Doctor was a great experience for
yes.
me, and to get the call to form a new band with all these talented musicians was a blessing.
Absolutely, and not to be left out of the conversation, Mocha Man, talk about that phone call, man, when they reached out to you.
I actually never received a phone call. I was on the side of the road with my sign that said, "We'll play music for food." And James was kind enough to pull over and throw a bagel at me. I don't know if he was throwing the bagel at me or if he was giving it to me, but nonetheless, that bagel was delicious. And then I said, "Well, do you have any more of these?" And he said, "Well, follow me over to JR's house." And we did the rehearsal. And they just kept me ever since. I mean, it's wonderful to be included and also appreciated in the sense of my lack of experience in playing. They show me how Rick a few times has taken my horn out of my mouth and said, "This is how you do it." JP has also said, "Well, why don't you just try the congas this way?" And I've been like hooked ever since. It's been a really, really great experience in the sense of these were some seasoned musicians. I toured with Air Force Entertainment for a little bit, and it taught me that I did not want to be a professional musician. And these guys keep me in that whole idea of not being a professional musician, but a musician that has fun. And if you ever come to any of the shows or have been any place that I go, you definitely know that I'm not doing it because of the money. Well, maybe because of the money. Rick has promised me millions of dollars, and I thought, well, I'll stay here until millions come in. He bought me a lottery ticket. It's a billion something, but my part's one million. Anyway, on that note, seriously, the guys are all wide open to new ideas. We enjoy the banter, you know, as musicians. Somebody's got to be right. It's usually me. But when that happens, then they get an understanding for how to do it exactly. And I learn a lot from that, the banter of that. It's been quite a wonderful experience, honestly. I'm just looking for the ride, man. We'll see where it goes.
Very cool, man. So the pieces are in place. Y'all get together to jam and see how it feels. Now, I don't care who addresses it. I'd like to hear from a little bit of all of you, maybe. But what did it feel like when you first started out and first had that jam for the very first time?
Terrifying. I was instantly in tears on the fetal position on the floor. And then the guys like all picked me up and said, it's going to be okay. Just keep playing. And actually, on a serious note, we all looked around the room, was like, holy crap, man, this is, yeah, we can do this again. And then once the police report got done from Ricky's house, we all were able to do it again, but we just had to wait on the assembly of it. Finding the gigs was kind of the easy part, but then, you know, there's the legacy of the Rare Earth guys that you want to respect and you want to appreciate. So we made sure, and I shouldn't say we, Ricky and JR and JP made sure that James and I kept those specific in place. And it made a very powerful connection. I mean, everybody felt it. Yeah. Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, from the first couple of rehearsals, it's been great. To be honest, we didn't call anybody else. We got a hold of Mocha. We got a hold of James. And they did their homework. And when we hooked up, we were feeling it. So it's been the five of us ever since then. And we've had some great opportunities. And we're looking at more. You know, we want to get out there and play. We want to, you know, want people to know who we are.
Rick?
Well, Bird, Lansing's own Randy Bergdoff, member of Rare Earth, bass player and road manager and all kind of things. He's a professional flaming cat juggler, and I don't want to go
flaming
into
flaming cat juggler.
Yeah, I don't want to go into all that stuff. however, Bird was in our conversation regarding forming the band, and he lives in Iowa, number one, and it just wasn't a physical possibility. I believe JR said, well, gotta get James. You know of James, Jerry, and Bird told us over the phone. He says, guys, I'm not going to be able to fly in and do these gigs every once in a while, but you got to check out James Williams. And now J-Dub, we had to shorten the name for,
sure,
you know, for the record.
Did he give you the rest of the check when you mentioned his? You're looking for the money. I figured that was.
He's cutting the last zero now. That's
third. Okay. Because when I mentioned him, I expect the stamp right away on my check.
$12.30.
Wow.
30.
To be J-Dub.
Are you being too kind? Yes. It's really been a great experience.
When he talked about Bird promoting you, what went through your mind when you just heard that? Is that the first time you've heard that?
Yeah, it was. That's really, was it exciting to hear? Because I know Bird back in the 70s, back when I was playing with a band called Sunquest. And I always respected him. We always had great conversation. And,
sure.
And to have that recommendation come that way is pretty awesome. So that makes me feel it really good. So I might even play better tonight.
All right.
Well,
so
can I just throw a Bird plug in there?
Sure.
For those of you that don't know, Bird was the traveling, touring, bass recording bassist with Rare Earth for, I don't know the number.
42 years.
Was it for 42?
Well, 42 years.
Yeah. So second to Gil in terms of gigs.
Longevity.
In
yeah.
the time clock of Rare Earth. Yeah, Bird was, he's either two or three. But
fantastic.
Another guy that a lot of love is in the room for.
I want to jump ahead to early this year. You guys decided after a lot of encouragement, and I'm not gonna lie, I've been your biggest cheerleader for the last little better than a year, but I was really excited when you decided to go down to Houston and get that CD together. So you're kind of like on a rocket ship. I mean, talk about your trip down to Houston. I know you were over the moon excited about the guy that did your work for you down there in the studio, but you're down in Houston, you're putting the CD together, it's real. What's going through your mind, guys?
Sandwiches, and there was like taco trucks on every corner, but incidentally, we never stopped at one.
You needed to be able to speak Spanish very well if you wanted to eat in Houston. The fun part about Houston was the road trip down there. You know, you always have funny road trip stories, and my favorite one is when James was asleep at the wheel, and I looked over at him and I said, "Hey, you do know you were driving." He goes, "What do you mean? I just had this weird dream." Anyway, it was a fun trip. We did enjoy ourselves immensely. The guy that recorded us was an absolute recording god. I can totally understand why he won a Grammy. And his work, the expeditiousness of his work, how we got up, we went to the studio, we recorded, we went home, we slept, we got up, we recorded. We stayed there until it got dark and recorded. A lot of people don't know what goes into recording. For the listeners, there's a lot of tweaking, a lot of tweaking. You play the music, but then you tweak it so it sounds better. And he definitely had the does not suck button. It was really cool.
Absolutely. Guys, we are just about out of time. Once the CD is finalized, what is next for Brother Earth? I mean, you talked about wanting to ride a unicorn in and do a 70s tribute show. And what else is on your radar?
Well, this evening we are introducing Rare Earth. Freudian slip.
That's okay.
Brother Earth,
yeah.
The T-shirt. Brother Earth, the keychain. Brother Earth, the ball cap. Anyhow, what is in store for us? We don't know. We didn't know. I think after our first gig and we were rehearsing for the second one, we said, you know what? It feels like we're going to wind up on an airplane with this band and we're going to be doing cool stuff. What happened the first week of May, we were on an airplane heading for Houston to go into two major recording studios and put this in the can. As Mocha said, Grammy Award winning Harold LaRue mastering is our sixth man. Because I'm just anxious for everyone to hear what we were able to capture. We could have renamed the band Lightning in a Bottle, because we have 11 songs and every one of them is a love affair of what we're all about.
And I have to tell you, I got a chance to take some photos down of you guys at your event with Night Ranger down in Jackson. That was a thrill for me. First of all, being able to shoot you guys on a big stage with good lighting, and secondly, being allowed to shoot the first three songs for Night Ranger was like, wow. I was blown away when they said yes. But I'm excited to see, and I did get a chance to hear some of your music, because you played a little bit while you were in the green room there before you went on. And I got to tell you, man, I can't wait to get my hands on this CD and play it and listen to it. Matter of fact, I've still got the audio from that event in September, and I listen to it on my computer all the time, guys. I'm not pulling your legs. I'm not selling bootleg CDs.
James, get the checkbook.
Okay. I thought you'd be reaching for my checkbook. But and listen, I want to thank all of you for being here. JP, Mocha, Rick, James. Sorry we didn't have Floyd here, JR. We understand that he's a little under the weather right now, but that's okay. We will definitely be sitting down and talking to you guys again real soon, because I have a feeling there might be some tour activity going on here maybe in the next... I'm just going to reach out and say maybe over the next year. James, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and we look to have a CD release party in Lansing, Michigan as Ooh. Well.
Boy, that's breaking news there.
And I just want you to know, I mean, Irv, you are part of our family, and that's why you are Brother Irv.
Yes, sir.
So
we call you Brother Irv.
That's, I know.
So if we could end the song that we collectively wrote as a band called Brother Earth, yes. Just follow my cue, guys. One, two, three.
Hey! With Brother Irv!
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. And as always, we look forward to talking to you again and helping us keep the blues alive. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.